Let's take a closer look now at the Philippines. Zachary Abuza is a professor of political science and an expert on Southeast Asia at Simmons College. He's with us now. Zach, tell us the basics. First of all, over 7,000 islands, and as we just heard, more than 100 languages spoken.
Oh, it does have a lot of languages. There are very distinct dialects. And what binds the country together in terms of linguistics is actually still English and Tagalog, which became the national language. But that was really spread through TV and soap operas.
But most people speak English, because we do see on TV when we listen to victims being interviewed, many of them do speak perfect English.
Yes, they speak very good English there. It's certainly used in upper level in schools. But places like where this terrible event occurred, there are distinct regional dialects.
What about the economy there? It has been growing pretty quickly, I think 6.5% recently.
Oh, actually more than that. The Philippines has long been seen as the sick man of Asia, kind of the slowest growing economy in a very dynamic region. That's really changed in the past few years. They've been growing at about 7.5%, almost 8% growth in the last year. They have the fastest growing stock market. They have the hottest real estate market. In Southeast Asia, the real estate market's booming. The currency is soaring. So there are a lot of things that have been going well at a macro level. But there's also the flip side, and that is that this is still a very poor country. Per capita income's around $3,200 a person. The wealth is very unequally distributed. Unemployment, even though the economy is booming, is actually going up.
Yeah, I saw that the per capita income is actually lower than the Congo.
Yes. There's a lot of money in the Philippines, but it is just concentrated in a very small handful of people.
What about the islands that are very hard hit by this typhoon? Are those in the poorer part of the Philippines?
They're near Cebu, which is the second city of the Philippines, which is a pretty dynamic city. But Tacloban is in a very poor region, very densely populated. And a lot of the country's overseas foreign workers, an estimated 7 to 11 million Filipinos work overseas. This is one of those places that just generates a lot of those foreign workers.
What about the government? The president was elected in 2010. There was, of course, a long dictatorship by Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. But the new president has made fighting corruption a focus.
Yes. He is the son of the president, Corazon Aquino, who overthrew Marcos in the People Power Revolution back in 1986. He was elected in 2010, really in an outpouring of emotional support for his mother's passing. He has made fighting corruption one of his key campaigns. And he's done a pretty good job in that. I think that's one of the reasons that you're seeing foreign investment go to the Philippines. Think about all the call centers there. It's the number one call center market in the world for certainly American firms, a lot of back offices there. And he's dealt with the endemic corruption, at least the perception of it.
Prepared to deal with something like this?
No one is. Even a smaller storm. And the Philippines is routinely battered by typhoons. That they're hit by a storm is no big surprise. It's in the Ring of Fire. They have earthquakes. They get typhoons on a regular basis. The Philippines has very robust civil society, which has dealt with this, but I don't think any country is close to being ready to deal with storms of this magnitude.
What about internal unrest? I know that the vast majority of the country is Catholic, but there is this Muslim part of it that is not quite at peace with the rest of the country.
In the southern Philippines and the island of Mindanao down through the Sulu Archipelago, there is not one but three separate Muslim-based insurgencies. The government is in the middle of concluding peace agreements with the largest of these groups, which is important for providing security for the region. But there are still radical offshoots, such as the Abu Sayyaf group that Americans have linked to al-Qaeda in the past. On top of that, around the country, there's still a communist rebellion, and they are fueled by the fact that land is concentrated in a very small percentage of the population.
So, Zachary Abuza, as somebody who knows this country very well, what do they need right now?
The Philippines really needs critical infrastructure. So, and we see that in terms of the distribution of aid right now. The Philippines has some of the lowest percentage of paved roads into the country. The Philippines has very few ports. If you think about the importance of ports in archipelago, because shipping is concentrated in a handful of conglomerates, they've really stymied the development of inter-island shipping. So we're really seeing the relief workers have a problem getting critical aid and medicine in quickly. They just can't get to places quickly enough.
Which was something, of course, we also saw in Haiti after the earthquake when the ports were destroyed, and it was very difficult to get supplies in there. Zachary Abuza, professor of political science and expert on Southeast Asia at Simmons College, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.